is the Banner Ravens podcast. Paul Mancano and Jonah Schaefer here with breaking news. We are live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You could be listening to us after the fact on any of your favorite podcast platforms. Please give us a like, by the way, on YouTube, a thumbs up, a subscribe, a write us a good review if you have the moment. But Jonas, wow. Ravens got their guy. It is Derrick Henry, the man who once broke Ravens fans' hearts in the postseason, is coming to Baltimore, and a new king.
To the Queen City.
To the Queen City, as Adam Schefter said. I never knew it was the Queen City. I always thought it was Charm City, but nope. If Adam Schefter says it, it's true, right?
Sure. Well, let's go with that. Yeah. This is at once like surprising, but also not surprising because of everything that's happened over the past year. With you know, Derrick Henry being linked to Baltimore at the trade deadline, to the Ravens having an obvious need at running back, but you know, to even Derrick Henry following Jimmy's Seafood on Instagram and social media, I guess I didn't know really what to make of that about an hour ago, but it seemed like that was the those were the tea leaves, those were the bits of lobster and shrimp that should have clued us in that this was imminent. I guess he's going to be eating good because he's not only getting what, 2 years, $16 million, but also free crab cakes for life. Although yeah. All these for life promotions are just like one for a week for the, you know, for like a 10-year span. So I hope Derrick Henry and his representation got good details on what exactly crab cakes for life entail, because I wouldn't want to be shortchanged on something as serious as that.
No, I mean, come on, crab cakes for life. That's, you got to cash that in when you get it. Have you ever been given a for life promotion, Jonas?
No. I think I've been like in the mix for like pizza for life in college. Like there were those various competitions where if you like hit a basket or get selected to hit a basket, and you know, no one ever does because they always select the people who actually don't play basketball. But we should be talking about pizza for life. We should be talking about Derrick Henry.
We should. Let's talk about Derrick Henry agreeing to terms, I should say. Can't sign with the Ravens until tomorrow, but he has agreed to terms with the Baltimore Ravens. It was initially reported by many national reporters, and then the Baltimore Banner's own Gianna Han confirmed it, and you can read her full story at thebaltimorebanner.com, or you can subscribe $1 for 6 months. But Jonas, this is the bell cow back of this free agency class. He's been the bell cow back of the NFL for the last close to 10 years. He is one of a kind in that he takes the ball from the backfield, doesn't catch a whole lot of passes, is a ground and pound, beat you up, massive back. And if you wanted a supersized Gus Edwards, you got it in Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is unique in this way. And the fact that he is 30 years old is concerning. The fact that he has a ton of mileage and a ton of tread on those tires, he's led the league in carries for the last 5 years, is concerning. But everybody who has watched him play on a week in and week out basis says that he still is close to his elite form. Had 1,167 yards last year, 4.2 yards per carry, and was PFF's number three running back in all of football. He has been remarkably durable. Jonas, what do you make of the fact that the Ravens are now leaning back into this RB1, not running back by committee, but committing to one running back and saying Derrick Henry is going to be our guy from the start of the season onward?
Let's get like the damp towel out of the way. Let's rain sure. on people's parade before we actually get to the parade. The matter of wear and tear, the matter of usage and running backs in their 30s tending to fall off and fall off hard. You know, there was a PFF study a couple of years ago that looked at just kind of longitudinally how these running backs hold up once they hit certain thresholds. And the summary at the end of it was running backs usually fall off once they hit 1,500 carries and have played 5 to 7 years in the NFL. Derrick Henry, dear listeners, is up to 2,000 carries, and he is going on year 8, I think. I think that this will be, I think he's been in the league for 8 years, so this will be year 9
this
for
will
him.
Year 9.
So he is well past both of those imaginary lines of demarcation where guys tend to fall off. And yes, you know, there is a very real world in which Derrick Henry arrives in Baltimore and just turns into a pumpkin because he pulls a hammy that just never gets right, or he tweaks something and is just not the same guy. But he is, and we like using this phrase, Paul, built different. You see him work out. You see him run. You see the miles per hour that he's putting up with this tracking data. I mean, he was faster than Derrick Henry on his two fastest carries. He was faster than Keaton Mitchell was on his two fastest carries than Keaton Mitchell was. And he's doing that with like 40 pounds more on that frame. So of all of the, you know, one percenters that make up the NFL, he's in that 1%, that 0.1%. That suggests that maybe, just maybe, a commitment of this size for a running back like this at his age could be worth it. You know, I don't know exactly, you know, what you would kind of put the over under at for carries in a game or total yards or total carries, just because, you know, there's so much that defenses can do to dissuade the Ravens and Lamar from handing the ball off to guys like that. And, you know, we've seen with the rise of RPOs in the Ravens offense, you know, Lamar having more freedom to kind of spread the ball around and get the ball into more advantageous spots. But I think it's pretty safe to say that Derrick Henry is the most talented, or at least most accomplished, well, the most talented, not by far, but by far the most accomplished running back that Lamar's ever shared a backfield with. And if he keeps that 2023 form and ports it into 2024, then this is the most talented group of skill players, at least, that Lamar has ever had. And it's going to be interesting to see just how lackluster a line they could potentially get away with and still have him be an overall effective runner.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line is still very much in flux for this team. They have reportedly lost John Simpson on a contract with another team, so he is out the door. So they could be potentially losing both of their starting guards if Kevin Zeitler is to come to terms with another team. And obviously, Morgan Moses and Ronnie Stanley are both, you know, not very spring chickens. And maybe there's a restructure or cap, you know, casualty coming for one of those two guys. But when you talk about Derrick Henry, I think Ravens fans' minds immediately go to the 2019 playoff loss, when Derrick Henry had a passing touchdown, had 30 carries for 195 yards in that divisional round game, that shocking upset that we have talked ad nauseum about on this podcast, Jonas. That was one of his phenomenal seasons that capped off his first Pro Bowl season, 2019, his age 25 season, when he had 1,540 rushing yards in 15 games. He followed that up in 2020 with 2,027 rushing yards and 17 touchdowns on the ground that season. And of course, let's not forget that the Ravens stymied Derrick Henry at the end of that season in a January playoff win. The Ravens stopped him for just 40 rushing yards on the ground as the Ravens moved on. He had 18 carries for 40 yards in that game. And in fact, the last two playoff games for Derrick Henry have not been very good. If you count that game and his last playoff game, that's 38 carries total for 102 yards, 2.7 yards per carry. Look, that Ravens defense was excellent in 2020, but do you have any concern about the fact that Derrick Henry has not been great the last two playoff games?
No, because
just bad quarterback play.
Yeah, but like if I was concerned about bad quarterback or bad play in the playoffs, and you know, we would be talking about what the Ravens should do to move on from Lamar Jackson. This just kind of goes to the wider discussion of what makes a running back effective. And you know, the prevailing sentiment from like the people who look at tracking data and box counts and just, you know, stuff that is now becoming more mainstream, you know, what matters is the quality of your blocking, the quality of your blockers. You know, the Ravens in 2019 did not have an overly talented running back room. Obviously, Lamar was a shining star that season, but you had Marshall Yanda, Orlando Brown, Ronnie Stanley, Matt Skura, Bradley Bozeman, all, you know, good to great run blockers. And then what also matters is, you know, how many defenders are actually in the box. And that has been the issue for Derrick Henry is, you know, he had some relief when A.J. Brown was out there in Tennessee, helping him out, being his wingman, being the Batman to his Robin or the Robin to his Batman. But last year, you know, according to the True Media stuff, he faced a crowded box, which is like eight or more defenders in between the tackles on 50% of his carries. Now, a lot of that is like kind of a self-selection bias where I think the Titans were lining up in heavier formations. So you match heavy formations with more run defenders. But if the Ravens can get Derrick Henry in situations where he's in 11 personnel or it's spreading things out and you decide, do I want to have a safety kind of shadowing Zay Flowers and, you know, Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman, or do I want to drop him into the spine of that defense because I'm so concerned about giving Derrick Henry a running start and into the backfield? I mean, you know, one of the things that was incredible about what he did last year, which statistically wasn't a tremendous season for him, even though the PFF grades really liked him, was like he was ranked 44th among 49 qualifying running backs in yards before contact per carry. So there was no relief from that Titans offensive line, which is one of the worst in football. But he was eighth in yards after contact per carry, 3.32, which is like Gus Edwards territory back in his heyday. So for him to make the most of an awful situation and just get as much meat on that bone as possible, the way he did at age 29, it's really, really encouraging for what he could be next to Lamar. And sorry to drag on like this, but just before the news broke, I was kind of curious about how much of an impact pairing Derrick Henry with an athletic quarterback like Malik Willis had on that Titans run game last year. And when Malik Willis was on the field, Derrick Henry averaged like 6 yards per carry. When he wasn't, 4.1. That is a huge, huge fall off between, you know, an athletic threat that defenses have to respect and one that they don't. And you put him, you take him from Malik Willis to Lamar and the abundant skill position talent that will be around him. It's going to be just a real Sophie's choice for every single defense that the Ravens go up against in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fascinating thought experiment now to think about what this offense is going to look like next year. Because last year, you know, they were the leading team in all of football in rushing yards without having a 1,000-yard back, with Lamar Jackson, their quarterback, leading the way in terms of rushing yards. And yet at the same time, the offense under Todd Monken, especially at times in the middle of the season, was very pass heavy. Yeah. Now you're looking at a wide receiver core that, you know, could be losing OBJ, but you still have Rashad Bateman, who they seem bullish on, having a bounce back season. You obviously still have Zay Flowers right now. You brought back Nelson Agholor, but their offensive move based on, you know, their salary cap situation, their big splash on offense is Derrick Henry. It has to be, because they just simply don't have the money for anything else. They could have gone one way and tried to go out and get a wide receiver, maybe in free agency. And there's not going to preclude them from going out and drafting somebody like Keon Coleman in the first round, but their offense could run a lot more through the running backs than it did last year. What is this offense going to look like? I mean, are we going to see a return to the Greg Roman days of, you know, running backs getting 25 to 30 carries a game and just ground and pound? Or are the Ravens just going to, you know, stick with the same kind of air raid, pass heavy attack and just use Derrick Henry to punish defenses that go with light boxes?
Two thoughts, Paul. One is you mentioning the possible interest in the free agent market. I'm sure there's like at least a couple of Ravens fans right now wondering, like, oh, we still got to have space for OBJ, right? We still got to have space for Patrick Queen. No, you do not. This is the move.
Christmas tree. This is the move.
Take it. Yeah. Take it and like it. for the second thought is, you know, when I was kind of thinking about Gus Edwards and his career here, obviously it's a little bit apples to oranges because he has always been in the middle of a platoon. He's never really been the featured back. He's always shared the backfield with Lamar. But you think about just how long Gus was in Baltimore and how many successful games he had and how many successful running games the Ravens had and how many opportunities they had to just salt the game away with carry after carry. Over his long and esteemed career in Baltimore, I think Gus had three total games with more than 20 carries. So obviously you bring in Derrick Henry. He's built to handle that, you know, rarefied 20 plus carry workload. That's what he did for year after year in Tennessee. But there's also the consideration of, like, if you're the Ravens and you're John Harbaugh and you're Eric DaCosta and you're Todd Monken, like they did with Lamar, you have to kind of protect your investment. Like, we all think that this is
right,
a pretty good bet for a playoff team, but you do not want to be running Derrick Henry into the ground in week two if you're going to need him in week 19. You know, it's just as simple as that. And obviously, I can already hear the spirits of Ravens fans yelling into my earphones, well, you know, the Ravens just handled the ball six times against the Chiefs. There's no guarantee that they would even hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. I think you make exceptions for Derrick Henry. I hope you make exceptions for Derrick Henry. So, you know, just like, there's no more frustrating question to me that offensive coordinators get asked about, like, how are running backs, you know, how are running back carries going to get split up, because they don't know, you know, that some guys like, you know, rock with the hot hand. Some guys just shouldn't get the ball, because if a defense is showing a run blitz on every single play, then you should be probably calling pass plays. But I would imagine, you know, probably not to go out on too much of a limb here, but with Justice Hill being more of a complimentary back, special teams guy, Keaton Mitchell being, you know, uncertain status wise for week one,
right,
it's probably a lock to say that, like, Derrick Henry's going to have the highest share of carries of any back and slash maybe player in, like, the Lamar era. Right?
Yeah, I would think. If the Ravens are in a playoff game and they finish that playoff game with 11 carries like they did in that AFC Championship game against the Chiefs, then that is cause for major concern, because they now have Derrick Henry. There's no excuse not to run the ball, you know, in any of those situations now. He is going to be getting the ball, like you said, a lot more than Gus Edwards did last year, and a lot more than even J.K. Dobbins did at his height. This is just who Derrick Henry is. He's built to take a ton of carries. You know, 280 carries last year, 349 two years ago, 378 in 2020, 303 in 2019. He is going to take the ball a lot. One thing he will not do, Jonas, is catch a whole lot of passes. He's only had over 300 receiving yards one time in one season in his career. You know, it's largely due to the fact that he's just running the ball all the time. You can't be doing both. But we saw last year, this Ravens offense struggled. The only one area it consistently struggled in offensively all season was the passing game to the running backs, was running back screens, was running backs catching passes. Do you think that that was more a product of the scheme that Todd Monken was running or the talent? Because now they're not going to be passing the ball to their running backs much at all, unless it's Keaton Mitchell, unless it's a healthy Keaton Mitchell or Justice Hill catching the ball out of the backfield. Should the Ravens have targeted somebody who is more of a pass catcher as a running back, or are they right to double down on this no running backs catching passes model that they went with in 2023?
I'll get to that in a sec, but I just want to flag for everyone who's maybe listening to this live.
Breaking news.
Patrick Queen tells Marcus Spears that he plans to sign a three-year $41 million contract with, drumroll please, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, no.
Mike Tomlin, the same guy who apocryphally, realistically, maybe told Patrick Queen that he was not a Raven in a game at Heinz Field once, will now be his coach. But anyway, back to the Derrick Henry. He's not going to be playing 100% of the snaps. You know, they're going to carve out space for Keaton when he's healthy. I do kind of wonder if we'll see Derrick Henry become the pseudo lead blocker for Keaton Mitchell, the way that Gus Edwards was used as a lead blocker at times on some of those pony personnel, two back personnel groupings. But, like, you know, Derrick Henry does not have a great reputation as a pass blocker. Justice Hill, despite his issues against the Chiefs in that playoff loss, is a pretty solid pass blocker. He's also, you know, advanced as a receiver. So, you know, it's not out of the question that he would be the Ravens' preferred option on third and long. And, you know, you keep Derrick Henry in there on second and mediums, on third and shorts, obviously. He has evolved somewhat as a receiver option in the screen game. I think, you know, you look at those reception totals the last 2 years, 33 in 2022, 28 last season. I think a testament to just that willingness to get him out there in space and let him try to run people over. You know, we saw Keaton Mitchell be used effectively as a screen game weapon last season. Todd Monken was really, really effective and creative with how he used screens at Georgia. Didn't see a whole lot of that last year, at least the effectiveness. I think the usage was up, but the effectiveness was down. So you're bringing him to run people over. That is just as simple as that. And
yeah,
you know, what may come of the receiving aspect of it is just an added bonus.
All right, let's pivot and let's talk about Patrick Queen, because we got to get to this. Going to a division rival. Jonas, what do you make of the fact that first we saw Geno Stone go to a division rival in the Cincinnati Bengals? Now the Ravens are losing their Pro Bowl former first round pick linebacker, Patrick Queen, and they're going to be seeing him twice a year as he is now the starting linebacker for the Russell Wilson led Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm seeing reports that Adam Schefter is also now calling Pittsburgh the Queen City. Weird. Yeah, I mean, it's we thought that we had it good narrative-wise with Geno Stone going to Cincinnati and getting those twice-a-year battles.
That's nothing compared to this. Nothing.
Nothing compared to this. You know, obviously, you hope that both those guys are healthy enough, Patrick Queen and Derrick Henry, to actually be facing off. But yeah, I don't think there's any animosity between the Ravens and Patrick Queen. I keep on wanting to call him Derrick Queen, but got to get your mind off Maryland basketball, Jonas. You know, I think he understood that the writing was on the wall when the Ravens drafted Trenton Simpson, when they gave Roquan the 5 years, $100 million contract. So listen, you know, the Steelers needed the linebacker. They needed some help up that spine. We don't know how good he will be separate from his bro Quan. I think he will be good. I think we saw him start to turn that corner as a player, you know, before Roquan came here, but we also haven't seen him thrive in a defense that's not led by Mike McDonald, who was a linebacker friendly guy and who was a hell of a communicator. You know, you wonder, will that connection be made with Mike Tomlin right away? You know, will Patrick Queen be able to not just live up to the hype of being a $17 million a year guy, but can he be someone that Mike Tomlin trusts to wear the green dot and be the on-field yeah. communicator? You know, I have no doubt that if Patrick Queen lives up to the hype and he shows what he did in Baltimore, then Steelers fans will love him because he can blitz, he can cover, he will throw himself into pulling blockers to try to gum up the works as a run defender. But anytime you pay a lot of money for an inside linebacker, you'd better be sure that guy is going to be a three down linebacker and be a plus player in every aspect of the defense. I think Patrick Queen can be, but if he doesn't, Ravens fans will let him know about it.
Jonas, let's touch on a couple other deals because you got to get to writing. I got to get to social posting. Let's talk about the fact, obviously, one deal negates the other. You know, the Ravens letting Gus Edwards go was immediately made up for by the fact that they're getting Derrick Henry. But Gus Edwards goes to the other Jay Harbaugh with the LA Chargers. He gets a 2-year, $6.5 million deal with $3.35 million guaranteed. Reunites with Greg Roman over there. We touched on it, but safety Geno Stone agreed to a deal with the Bengals. Probably has an opportunity to start there if they're maybe moving Dax Hill to corner or if they're just going to move him to the bench. Ronald Darby, a productive veteran cornerback, signed with the Ravens last year for just 1 year. I believe it was $1.2 million. And then he cashes in. Mike McDonald just, you know, deserves a cut of that for making him look amazing. All these guys that he Kingmaker. Looked amazing. Yeah. In this defense, 2 years, $8.5 million deal that Darby got from the Jaguars. Devin Duvernay, he also goes to the Jaguars. So maybe the Ravens now need a, all respect to Tylan Wallace, but maybe they need a punt returner, kick returner. And one linebacker in, one linebacker out. Malik Harrison stays. Delshawn Phillips goes. Jonas, which of these moves do you want to talk about for like 2 minutes?
I guess we could talk about Malik Harrison just in the context of I think why it's a good move, especially with Delshawn Phillips. You need someone who can be the alpha on that special teams unit. You need someone with all these potential outside linebackers leaving. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with Clowney. We don't know what's going to happen with Van Noy. You need someone who can set the edge. you need someone who can play inside linebacker. Malik Harrison drafted as a inside linebacker in the third round a few years back, but last year played mainly on the edge. The thing that was most interesting to me when I was digging around with the stats after he re-signed or reportedly re-signed last night was just how much better the Ravens' run defense was when he was on the field than when he wasn't. And I think that's important when you consider just the teams that are at the top of this, top of the NFL with good rushing offenses, you know, the Lions, the 49ers, you need someone who might not be a total breadwinner as a pass rusher or a coverage guy at that outside linebacker spot, but you need someone who's just going to be able to, you know, knock his shoulder into whoever's up against him and set a hard edge. And I think Malik Harrison does a great job with that. He's been durable. He's been a good locker room guy, just a real pleasure to talk to whenever I get the chance. So it makes sense. You know, I'm sure the Ravens would have loved to have Ronald Darby back. I'm sure they would have loved to have Delshon Phillips back, maybe even Devin Duvernay, but I just don't understand why Jacksonville is paying so much money for a guy who had just a handful of catches last year. It's just still somewhat inexplicable to me, considering everything we saw last year, not just during the season, but also training camp, where he didn't really look like his old self.
Jonas, this team is being remade overnight. What are your thoughts before we end this podcast and go set our hair on fire?
I'll be writing about this probably going up later today or early tomorrow. But with Derrick Henry, you know, the thing that we mentioned in our podcast last week was just, would he like being in an offense like the Ravens? You know, in Tennessee, primarily, it has been under center handoffs. It's been give Derrick Henry a path to hit, and he will try to hit that. But the past couple of years, we've seen more shotgun looks. We've seen him be successful in shotguns. There was the comment from Taylor Lewan that I believe I referenced a couple pods ago about how he doesn't like RPOs. He doesn't like inside zone. But there were a bunch of plays last year where the Titans ran RPOs and Derrick Henry was good, not great in them. And then in 2022, read options, the same kind of concept where if you're a back, you don't know for sure that you're actually going to get the ball before each snap. He was fantastic. You know, he broke off a couple big runs, I think like 11 carries, 155 yards, two touchdowns. And even last year against the Ravens in London, I don't think we'll see a whole lot of plays where Lamar set off as a wide receiver, but he ran by that entire Ravens defense. Basically, I think what took it down to the goal line for that long run against the Ravens in London, 79 yards or something. And that was, again, a bit of misdirection. So with Lamar, with Keaton, with Zay, with how often the Ravens like to put people in motion just to destabilize defenses before the snap, I think the last thing that you want, if you're an outside linebacker, an inside linebacker, a box safety, is just having to be put on your heels by this left to right motion, only to worry for the end of your line as a person in this world that Derrick Henry full speed is coming at you, you know, 6'2", 2'7". It's a scary, scary thought to consider. Obviously the Ravens still have to give him a good offensive line to make it possible. They still have to protect Lamar so that passing game, on the occasions where the Ravens don't get 5 yards of carry, you know, have that all be viable. But in theory, on paper, as a fantasy football project, it is very, very exciting.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We are going to have complete coverage of all of this breaking news. Yes?
Do you know what Derrick Henry's middle name is?
Lamar.
Is it really? Wow. Please, I really want to censor out your whispering just into the microphone. That was a little too invasive.
Just loop that for an ASMR podcast.
Anytime Lamar does something during the regular season that is amazing, I'm going to clip that and just tweet it from @AllBannerSports. I'm also @PaulMancano and Jonas is @Jonas_Schaefer. Please subscribe to the Baltimore Banner, $1 for 6 months to keep apprised of all of this great knowledge and information coming your way. For Jonas Schaefer, on Paul Mancano, we'll have another episode for you very soon. I'm sure we're going to get some more breaking news within the next 24 to 48 hours. So we'll try to go live with everything that we hear and read. Thanks so much for tuning in. And we'll catch you next time.